Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series on knowing God. I started this last week, and this is now my second week of teaching on this. And basically what I did last week was just try and impress upon people how important it is to know God. I think that most of the time people tend to seek what God can produce instead of seeking God Himself, and that is exactly opposite. If we would seek God and come to know Him, then everything that God is and has and can do for us would also come with Him. But I see people all of the time that don't have a clue. And I don't mean this in a critical way. I'm not trying to put people down, but I'm just saying that the vast majority of people with problems in their life and that are coming to me and they're just desperate and they're looking for help, the reason they're in that desperate situation is because they don't know God. They don't know His ways. They have been living their life their own way, and they're reaping the results of that. And so now they're wanting God to fix it, but they don't want to fix their relationship with God. They're just wanting their problem fixed. And if that happens, it'll just manifest in another area. Maybe it'll not be sickness this time. Maybe it'll be a divorce next time or whatever. But we've got to learn who God is and come to know Him. And that's the point that I've been trying to make. Yesterday, I was taking John chapter 3, verse 16, and this verse, I believe, has been changed to present something that I don't believe was the original intent of salvation. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So the goal of this verse isn't not perishing. That's the way that it's often presented. But the goal of John 3:16 is to bring people into everlasting life. And on our program yesterday, I compared this with John 17:3, where Jesus gave a definition of eternal life and says that it's knowing God in an intimate, close, personal way. That's what salvation is. And so salvation isn't just getting your sins forgiven so that you won't go to hell, but it's so that you could know God. If a person comes to the Lord to get their sins forgiven in order to escape hell, then if they don't come to know God in an intimate way, if God doesn't become their best friend, then according to John 3:16, they are actually missing out on everlasting life. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that they wouldn't go to heaven when they die. But everlasting life is not going to heaven. It's not living forever in heaven. It's knowing God right here on this earth in a close, intimate, personal way. And that should be preached. Here's another way of trying to get my point across. Let me say it this way. That if God could have brought mankind back into personal relationship with Him, without forgiving our sins, He would have done it. The goal of salvation isn't to get your sins forgiven and miss hell. It's to have intimate, close, personal relationship with God. It just so happened that sin was a barrier that separated us from this intimacy with God. And so Jesus did die for our sins, and He did remove this barrier. But for what reason? So that you could just die and go to heaven? No, it's so that you could have this personal relationship. And if you aren't having an intimate, close, personal relationship, if God isn't real to you, not just where you believe that He exists, but you talk to Him and He talks back to you, and God is an important part of your life. If He's not the center focus of your life, you are missing out on the purpose and the goal of salvation. And I know that that's a radical statement. And some people think, well, I've never heard that before. Obviously. And you know what? This is not the message of the church. Again, the church has basically been up saying, repent or else turn or burn. And they're trying to scare people out of hell. And the whole thing about most preaching is it's all about heaven and hell. And again, heaven and hell are real. I believe that those things are true. If you don't accept Jesus as your personal Savior, I believe in a literal hell and that people go to hell. And so those things are important. And I'm not trying to minimize that. But that is not the message that John 3:16 is preaching. That is not the message that John preached over in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. I read those verses yesterday. The early New Testament saints were preaching that Jesus loves you and He wants relationship with you. And the way to that relationship is to repent and to receive this forgiveness of your sins and then experience this intimacy with God. Let me illustrate this by saying that when I was a kid, 18 years old is when I had this encounter with the Lord. And I mean, I just fell in love with God. And immediately after that, that was in March of 1968. And immediately after that, I went over to Europe. And in Europe, we toured a lot of things. I was with my mother and this Christian youth group. We met in Bern, Switzerland with Billy Graham, and there was a conference there. But part of this tour, we went through Rome. And in Rome, again, I say I was just, man, totally in love with God. He was the focus of my life. And when I was in Rome, I got to relating the things that I was seeing to things that I read in the Bible about the Apostle Paul being there and stuff. And I remember especially going through the catacombs. And in the catacombs, the Christians, you know, were being persecuted mercilessly by Nero and some of the other emperors. And they would desecrate the bodies of the Christians. And so the Christians, when their people were killed, you know, being thrown to the lions or burned at the stake or however it was that they were martyred, they would take their bodies and they would literally bury them in the catacombs to hide them from the Romans. And so as you go through these catacombs, there's graves dug back into the walls of the catacomb, and over the grave would be put a plaque. And they had this translated into all of these different languages. And I remember, I had just turned 19 by that time, and I remember going and looking at those plaques and reading the inscriptions. And it just shocked me, the things that I was reading, because instead of, you know, some heart-wrenching thing about, oh, it's terrible, the persecution, and oh, God, help us, and wailing and travailing and talking about how bad it was. It was like people were so proud that they had remained faithful, that they had given their life for the glory of God. It's exactly like recorded in Scripture where they beat Peter and James and some of the other apostles, and it says that they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. That was exactly the way that these inscriptions were. And I remember one in particular that a man had written about his wife and his six-month-old daughter, and it says, "Here lies my wife and six-month-old daughter who gave their life for the glory of God in the Circus Maximus," and then it gave the date. And this man was bragging about it. You know that he's bound to have been brokenhearted in some way, that he's bound to have missed his wife and infant daughter who were killed because they claimed to be Christians, and yet he was so proud that they had remained faithful and had given their life, and he was glorifying God. I tell you, it just really impacted me. And I got to studying some things, and there are actual accounts that the Christians, as they were burned at the stake, they would sharpen spikes and literally run them up through people and impale them and then burn them at the stake. And in this excruciating pain, the people would sing. And there are actual accounts of Nero sticking his fingers in his ears and saying, "Why must these Christians sing as they die?" They would glorify God. And they were just worshiping God. And they were manifesting such a relationship. And there are also historical accounts that the Christians would literally push and shove and fight trying to get the honor of being the one who went out and was thrown to the lions or burned at the stake. Because they, you know, the Scripture says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of all of His saints." It says also that there is a greater or a better resurrection awaiting those who die as a martyr's death. And, you know, according to your days, so shall your strength be, is what the Scripture says. And so as a result, when you are in a crisis situation, when you're under terrible persecution and stuff, there is an even greater manifestation of God's presence and power and an anointing on your life. And these Christians recognized it. They saw the glory of God on the people who were dying, and they longed to know Him. Just like, I've already used this verse last week out of Philippians chapter 3, where Paul said that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. There is a special fellowship when you are being persecuted for the name of the Lord. And these Christians experienced it so much that they would actually push and shove and fight with each other to see who got to go out there and have the honor of dying for the Lord. I tell you what, this impacted me tremendously when I was just 19 years old. And it showed me that those early New Testament Christians didn't just have a doctrine that they were living for. It wasn't a creed. It wasn't something that they were doing because mommy and daddy were raised them to be this way. These people had a personal relationship with God. They knew God personally. And because of it, they confronted death and persecution totally different than what most Christians would today, because most Christians today have only received an insurance policy, a get-out-of-hell-free card that keeps them from going to hell. But they don't know God that way. And you know what the results of this was? There are also documented accounts that as these Christians were martyred, burned at the stakes, or thrown to the lions, there was so much peace, there was so much love, there was so much joy and contentment in their life that there are as many as 7 Romans that would jump out of the stands in the Colosseum and in the Circus Maximus, and they would run out there to confess Jesus as their Lord and receive this eternal life, this relationship with God, knowing that it would mean that they would be instantly put to death. And yet they would willingly give their life to have this relationship that they saw in these Christians. That's one of the reasons that they quit the persecution of the Christians, because it was converting a lot of the Romans. They were being so impressed by the presence and the power of God in the lives of these people. Let me just ask you, if today somebody was to look at you, and I'm not saying this for the purpose of condemning. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm just trying to build a hope, a desire for an intimacy with God on the inside of you. But today, if people were to look at you at your workplace, or your neighbors, or your family, and if they were to look at you, would there be something in you about knowing God? Would your relationship with God be so attractive to people that they would literally face death to be able to get what you've got? You know, sad to say, I would imagine that the vast majority of people watching this program would have to say, no, it's not that attractive. Most people don't see that. Matter of fact, with many of us, if we were arrested for being a Christian, there wouldn't be enough evidence to convict us. You know what? That's not the way that God intended Christianity to be. Again, we are in a conflict in the world today between all of these different religions. These religious factions are rising to the surface, and there's terrorism and things being done. And there are many people that are converting to these other violent terrorist type faiths. I tell you, there would be no competition if Christians were truly experiencing what is available to them through Jesus. If we knew God, if we had relationship to where we were talking to Him and there was interaction, and He was a person to us, not a concept, but a person who lives in us and talks to us and fellowships with us. If we were living that, there would be no competition between a living, vibrant relationship with a person versus a belief system over here that is angry and bitter and harsh. There would be no competition. But sad to say, many Christians are out knocking on doors and they're saying, repent or else, turn or burn, and we are preaching an angry gospel that God is going to send you to hell, which there is a truth that if people don't receive the forgiveness that has already been offered, that hell exists. And I'm not denying that, but I'm saying that that is not the message of the first century church. These people, as they were burned at the stake and thrown to the lions, weren't shouting into the crowds and saying, you're going to be punished for this. God's going to get you. They weren't cursing and they weren't sitting there calling down the wrath of God. Instead, they were manifesting for such a joy and a peace, a relationship that the Christians were actually fighting among themselves to see who got the honor, the privilege of going out and being martyred for the Lord. They were presenting something that was infinitely more attractive than what the average Christian today is presenting. And because of it, they had a greater effect on their generation than what we've had on our generation. And I tell you, God wants to bring us back to this place. God wants to bring us back to where knowing God is the center of everything. Yes, heaven exists and hell exists. Yes, people are going to spend eternity in hell. And yes, that is important and it needs to be proclaimed. But the number one thing that is going to draw people to the Lord isn't eternity, heaven and hell issues. It's going to be their personal relationship with God right now. And if we could demonstrate that and present to people that this hole that's on the inside of you, this emptiness, doesn't need to be filled with drugs, with alcohol, with sexual perversion and all of these kind of things, but instead it's knowing God that is going to satisfy you. If we could get that message across to people, I guarantee you people would be returning to the Lord. And the Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If we don't preach this, if we don't present things properly from the Word, the way that it was supposed to be presented, instead, if we just change it a little bit so that we say, believe on Jesus so that you won't go to hell, but instead you'll go to heaven. And if we change the message, and that's not untrue, but it's not the emphasis that the Bible placed on things. If we change that, well, then faith comes by hearing. If we aren't telling people that knowing God is the goal of salvation, then people aren't going to have faith for it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I believe that this is where the vast majority of the body of Christ is today. Again, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so, if all we're being told is that God had mercy on you as a fallen being, He didn't want you to go to hell, and so Jesus died for your sins so that you wouldn't go to hell, but instead go to heaven. And if that's what's being preached, then people will have faith to get their sins forgiven and have faith that in heaven they're going to be with God. But in between their born-again experience and dying and going to heaven, they won't have any faith for anything because that's not being presented. In the vast majority of our denominational churches today, once you get born again, you really don't have to go back to church because all they're going to preach is how to get saved every single Sunday and how to avoid hell and instead go to heaven. They aren't going to teach about intimacy with God, about knowing God. They aren't going to tell you that it's God's will for you to be healthy and to have prosperity and joy and peace and be anointed and be able to go out and cast out devils and do miracles. It's all going to be about when we all get to heaven. And so once you get born again, many people, their motivation for seeking God is over. The reason they sought God in the first place is because they were concerned about whether or not they'd go to heaven or hell. And so once they get that satisfied and they get an assurance that they've been born again and that they aren't going to go to hell, then what's the point in seeking God anymore? They just wait until they get a doctor's report that tells them they're going to die or some crisis and they only turn to the Lord in crisis. But see, if we were to present that the goal of salvation isn't to miss hell, but the goal of salvation is to know God, and that doesn't have to wait until heaven. It starts right now. We can know God right now. We can have intimacy with God. And if that was the goal, if we were preaching that, faith would come. People would enter into this relationship with God. And they would begin to start experiencing such a life of God that I guarantee you, it would just be so attractive. People would be drawn to you if you knew God. You know, I remember being in Vietnam, and I was holding a Bible study. And this is back when I first got really turned on to the Lord, and I was young. I didn't know a lot, but I knew God. I knew that He loved me. I'd had an experience with Him. And I was holding this Bible study. An atheist walked in. He was a Princeton graduate. He began to make fun of me, to mock me. He asked me scriptural questions that I couldn't answer. And he just made an intellectual fool out of me. And I had about 7 people in that Bible study. They all got up and left with the atheist laughing at me. And you know what? I was sitting there thinking about, boy, that went really well. and just saying, God, what could I have done differently? I don't know the answers to all of these things. And I was just praying that God would give me another chance. And this atheist that broke up my Bible study walked back in about 30 minutes later. He sat down and he said, I want what you have. And I was just shocked. I said, you do? And he says, you know, I just out-argued you. I made you look like a fool. He says, my whole life is built on my intellectual ability to argue and to do things. And he says, if somebody had done to me what I just did to you, I'd kill myself. He says, I just couldn't live. And he says, but I just made a fool out of you, and yet you have something that is beyond just intellect. He says, I know that you still believe. He says, you have a relationship with God that I want. I want what you've got. And I was able to lead this guy to the Lord and pray with him and see him get born again. And you know what drew him? It wasn't my ability to answer all of his questions. It was just the fact that I knew God. I remember one of the things that he said to me, he says, how do you know that God exists? And he was trying to convince me, see, he was an atheist. And I said, well, I don't understand all of these things, but I know he exists because I talked to him and he talked to me. And I said, here's what he told me this morning. And I was just telling him about my personal relationship with God. And you know what? He wanted that. I tell you, that's what the world is looking for. People are looking for a God that they can know personally, intimately. And that's what's available. Yes, he will forgive your sins. But for what? So that you won't go to hell? Well, that's a tremendous benefit. And yes, that's one of the things that'll happen. But it's so that you can enter directly into the presence of God and have relationship with Almighty God, just as if you had never sinned. God wants you. God loves you, and he wants relationship with you personally. Boy, that's nearly too good to be true news. But that's the gospel. And I believe that inside of every person watching this program, all around the world today, doesn't matter what nationality, what color of skin your skin is, it doesn't matter about any of your economical situation, it doesn't matter about your customs, you know what? Every person on the inside has a desire to know God. God made you that way. And I'm telling you that this is why Jesus came and died and paid for your sins, is to remove that sin barrier so that you could enter into relationship with God. God wants to know you more than you want to know him. And if you'll just call out to the Lord, he'll come into your life and you can begin to know him. And right now in this life, you can have victory and success. And then in the world to come, you can live forever with God. Boy, that's good news.